This is Akashvani. In the weekly program, Current Affairs, we now bring you a discussion on government efforts and initiatives to extend affordable and accessible digital services in rural areas. The participants are Dr. Jitinder Singh, Assistant Secretary General, PhD Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and Omresh Upadhyay, Anchor.
Universal Service Obligation Fund, USOF, under the Department of Telecommunications, signed a tripartite MOU with Prasar Bharati and Open Network for Digital Commerce, ONDC, which is a digital public infrastructure initiative of the Ministry of Commerce and Industry to increase affordable and accessible digital services across the country. Listeners, the objective of the MOU is to bundle broadband services with OTT and e-commerce platforms for rural India riding on BharatNet infrastructure under the USOF. It is believed that the Prime Minister's vision and unwavering commitment to foster a conducive environment for digital innovation underpins this truly unique collaboration, synergizing connectivity, content and commerce to empower rural India. And today to talk on this, we are joined by our eminent expert, Dr. Jitinder Singh. Dr. Singh, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure, Dr. Singh. So, Dr. Singh, for our listeners' benefit, I would like to ask you that how do you signify the recent tripartite MOU signed between the Universal Service Obligation Fund, USOF, Prasar Bharati and ONDC? What is the overall significance? What is this MOU?
If we see the macro part of this MOU, so this initiative in terms of the tripartite MOU between USOF, Prasar Bharati and ONDC, this is nothing but a comprehensive strategy. This is basically aimed at promoting digital innovation and empowerment across rural India. And when we talk of rural India, we even go to the tier 3 cities also that come, but which are just like the hinterlands of the India, even at the village level, at the Gram Panchayat level. So in fact, this MOU, this tripartite agreement is aligned with the broader vision of digital India. And as we know that Digital India seeks to transform the entire ecosystem of public services through the use of information technology. And the ultimate goal, I think this is basically to ensure that rural India is not left behind in the digital transformation initiatives. And this will in fact enable all citizens to benefit from the growth and opportunities that digital age brings. And as we are in era of, you know, high-speed broadband and mobile connections across Gram Panchayats and villages. So this actually will lead to transformation of rural economy because this will actually offer numerous benefits and these improvements in connectivity will actually lead to significant socio-economic development.
Absolutely, Dr. Singh. And if we talk about the recent times, especially India's revolution in digital sector, how does this collaboration aim to address the digital divide in rural India? And what specific initiatives are outlined within the MOU, how it's going to implement all the requisites?
So if we see the major aspects of the MOU, the US stock, the role is to ensure efficient and high-speed broadband services in rural areas. And this will actually leverage the BharatNet infrastructure. Prasar Bharati will actually help in sourcing and producing content for the OTT platform, including some linear channels, even live TV, even on-demand content also. And ONDC, as you know, this will actually provide technical expertise and necessary framework, and this will enable digital commerce in products and services. This even will expand to cover sectors like education, health, human training, credit, insurance, as well as agriculture. So if we see the important part, I think one of the important factors of this is actually this will enhance education because the access to online learning will increase. Because what will happen, students can then access various e-learning platforms, digital libraries and even educational, you know, resources. This will actually break the geographical barriers to quality education, which is definitely the need of the hour. And also it will result in interactive learning opportunities also because this will enable live classes and interactive learning sessions. And this will actually make education more engaging and effective. And particularly in the realms of improved healthcare, as we know, telemedicine is, you know, growing by leaps and bounds. Now, through this, you know, agreement, there will be more broadband connectivity. This will actually enable rural residents to consult doctors online. They can even access medical consultations. And even they can receive health services without traveling long distances. And also, this will also help in access to health and hygiene information. And this will actually result in better disease prevention and also promote best, or you can say good, health practices in rural, you know, areas. And one of the important facets what I see that this will actually enhance digital literacy also. Because with this platform, people actually can learn digital skills. This will enhance their employability. And also this will help in, you know, to participate in the digital economy. And also in terms of, you know, government services, this will actually result in efficient use of e-governance platforms for services like, you know, making Aadhaar card or even doing corrections in Aadhaar, PAN card, even for voter ID registration and also bill payments. So these are some of the facets that will be a, you know, game changer for enhancing the rural economy and in macro stage actually enhancing the socio-economic landscape of our rural India.
Absolutely, and you very beautifully highlighted how the MOU can fill the digital divide in rural India. But if we talk about the details that in the tripartite MOU, ONDC is also a very crucial partner that is believed to deliver technical expertise and framework support for the expansion of digital commerce. We already saw how ONDC type of disrupted the online food delivery with ONDC's expertise and all that. How well it can support the expansion of digital commerce through this MOU?
Right. In fact, you rightly said this Open Network for Digital Commerce, which is ONDC, is actually, you know, democratized the digital commerce. And it is also now curbing monopolistic practices in the digital markets. You know, like there are only major players who are actually, you know, working as, you know, they have the monopoly in e-commerce sector. But ONDC is definitely one of the important initiatives of the Government of India. And one of the important, you know, support system of ONDC in terms of, you know, playing a crucial role for delivering technical expertise is that it helps in, you know, framework creation. Well, what happens? ONDC provides a set of standards and protocols that enable different e-commerce platforms to interact with each other. And also it helps in seamless transactions. Well, what happens as it allows, you know, consumers to find and also purchase products or services across any platform who is participating in the network without being limited to a single platform. So this is in fact, you know, creating more, you know, holistic ecosystem for e-commerce and also particularly for SMEs and local vendors. It is a game changer because it has actually simplified integration processes by reducing costs. It is actually helping, you know, the micro, small and medium enterprises as well as local vendors to enter the digital market, the digital space. This was a missing link. And also now businesses, even the small businesses can access a larger market without needing to develop their platform or spend heavily on marketing or, you know, having their servers or going to data centers. So this will actually help in wider market access. And this is also encouraging healthy competition also because it is in fact bringing level playing field for all the participants. And this is actually resulting in competitive pricing and also better services for the consumers. And also in terms of consumer benefits, there's a lot of transparency also because consumers have more choices and transparency in pricing, products as well as sellers. So it is offering a unified shopping experience across different platforms through a single digital interface. And one of the important aspects is that Wendy's is also emphasizing the security and privacy of consumer data through standardized protocols. As we know that data is one of the critical elements for anybody. So this is actually creating a trust framework and this also certifies participants and ensures that compliance are within, you know, they are all met and there are guidelines for a very, very safe digital commerce environment. So these are, I think, some of the important aspects of ONDC and this is nothing but the result of, you know, the continuous collaboration between the government, the private sector and stakeholders.
If we talk about the role of Prasar Bharati with its OTT platform and USOF broadband services, when they are trying to enhance the digital access and content delivery in rural India, in what terms we can expect that there would be better education and infotainment services and how through this MOU they can revolutionize the digital services in the rural part of India?
So I think one of the important aspects of this agreement is that it will result in diverse and inclusive content for all the rural, you know, population. Because as we know that the OTT platform can host a wide range of educational content, including like e-learning modules, video lectures, and interactive learning sessions. And these can be tailored for different educational levels and languages, which makes quality education accessible to all. And also, as we know that, you know, the rural audience, they need a mix of entertainment depending on their geographies, depending on their culture. So they can have actually access to cultural programs, and the news in their vernacular language. This will actually help in increasing their awareness about the national as well as global issues. This is one of the important aspects that I always feel, that the news has to be, you know, it has to be versatile in the vernacular language. This will actually enable this. And also, you know, by combining the use of broadband initiatives with Prasar Bharati's content delivery capabilities, this partnership will actually directly address the digital divide, and this will ensure that rural populations are not left behind in the digital era. And also, as I told you, that the availability of the localized content tailored to the local interests and needs will make it more relevant and engaging for the rural audience. And also, what I feel, that there will be, you know, some economic opportunities also, because this will actually encourage local content creators. As you know, nowadays, you know, people are even earning a lot of money from different social media, you know, channels. And this ecosystem can actually empower local storytellers and content creators by providing them a platform that can showcase their work. And this will actually potentially lead to economic benefits. And this will definitely help in, you know, job creation also, because you need to, you know, have a content creation team. You need to have people for platform management and also broadband service maintenance. And this actually will create new job opportunities in rural areas.
Absolutely. And you very rightly said that this could build a great ecosystem of educational and infotainment services, as well as real-time learning, when someone sitting in a rural part of India learning from the best of teachers, because he can access all that data, all that content through these broadband services and also through Prasar Bharati's OTT platform. So can we say that this MOU should be seen as an initial step of the overall vision when the Prime Minister talks that we want to reach the last mile with all the services, and whatever that is happening in the world, everyone can learn from that and then excel whatever field he or she wants to be?
Definitely, this will actually enable, well, what happens that when there is, you know, more digital services accessibility, there will be a lot of financial transactions, there will be more business opportunities, the opportunities will be more readily accessible. This will facilitate digital literacy and also economic growth in rural areas. So I'm sure that when we talk of 5 trillion economy, this initiative will definitely result in actually preponing the time that we are actually seeing or forecasting to achieve, you know, $5 trillion. So this initiative may result in, you know, getting too near to this target, maybe in a time frame of 2 to 3 years.
How do you think, Dr. Singh, that the fiber to the home, FTTH connections and Wi-Fi hotspots are ensuring last mile connectivity in rural areas? Because as you rightly said, that through the reach of content to the last mile, then also the digital finance services are reaching to these people due to a very good and strong broadband connection. So what role do you think BharatNet is playing right now, and how it is providing connectivity to rural areas, to the main land of India?
So I think one of the important aspects is that the connectivity will become very, very cost effective. Because as we know that Wi-Fi hotspots, they offer a cost-effective solution and they provide internet access even by overcoming the challenge of individual home connectivity, which is in sparsely populated or even economically disadvantaged areas. As you know that private sector players, normally they only see some of the pockets wherein the population is dense. But with this, you know, agreement, there will be a lot of internet penetration in such areas also. This will actually bridge the digital divide, because the most remote and underserved areas will be actually, you know, they will get this connectivity. This will ensure that rural populations are in, you know, tandem with what is happening, so that they don't lose on any of the important opportunities. And also the accessibility to information, educational content and digital services will actually empower rural communities, as they will be more informed citizens. It will also have improved education outcomes, and this will actually enhance the quality of life. And one of the important aspects that I always say is that this will also open new avenues for agricultural markets. This will enable rural entrepreneurship and also create multiple job opportunities in the digital economy. So these are some of the aspects, I think, this important, you know, under this BharatNet, fiber to the home connections and Wi-Fi hotspots, it will actually play a very, very pertinent role in ensuring the last mile connectivity in rural areas.
Absolutely. And you very rightly said that when someone has the availability and accessibility of services like these, no matter where they are living, be it in the hinterlands of India, assistance and accessibility to these services help a lot. per se, if I talk about the common service centers that contributed to bridging the digital divide in rural and remote areas. So if we specifically talk about the common service centers and how as an initiative it helped in bridging the gap, how do you see that, Dr. Singh? And can you say that it proved to be very essential in providing digital services at the doorstep to everyone?
Yeah, definitely, because the common service centers, they enable access to essential digital services with a wide range of government services like, you know, the Aadhaar enrollment, as I told you, even birth and death certificate registration, bill payments, and also many more activities that actually bring these services closer to the rural population. And another important feature is about the financial inclusion. So through the CSEs, the residents of rural areas, they can avail banking services, even insurance plans, pension schemes, and also financial literacy programs, and this will significantly contribute to their economic empowerment. And also e-education, which is one of the important aspects of CSEs. Through e-education, these common service centers can provide access to educational resources, even online courses, and this will actually enhance the quality of education in underserved areas. Even the awareness campaigns, particularly like in health programs, even, you know, skill development initiatives like vocational training and skill development courses, they will actually open up new avenues for employment and entrepreneurship. And also some of the social welfare schemes, like even subsidy transfers also, because the common service center, they will actually help in direct transfer of subsidies and other financial benefits to the rural citizens. And thereby, this will reduce leakages and ensure more and more transparency.
In a way, it also provided some sort of opportunity of employment to the skilled or trained youth of that particular area, because at times it is not very feasible to go to the traditional bank setup, which is far from your residence, per se 10 or 15 kilometers. But when a CSE is nearby or in your village, then it becomes easy for the person, for the beneficiary to check their finances. And also the person who is running the CSC, it proves to be some sort of employment.
That is true.
So when we talk about digital services in rural India, the biggest issue that comes in front of us is that awareness, understanding and adoption of digital services remain a challenge. So to counter that, how Pradhan Mantri Grameen Digital Saksharta Abhiyan, which is known as PMG Disha, initiative contributed to empowering rural citizens through digital literacy? You were talking a lot about that. And what specific measures are being taken during the implementation of this across different states and union territories? Because there might be different challenges, but we have to cater to them. We have to solve them, right?
PMG Disha program, as we know, that it targets to make 6 crore individuals in rural areas across all the states and UTs digitally literate. So this is actually contributing to this very important goal, and there are a lot of, you know, specific measures have been taken for effective implementation also. Because like this PMG Disha program is providing digital literacy, and even it's making rural population capable of operating digital services, even devices like smartphones, tablets, computers and internet, which is definitely going to be a game changer. And also this also ensures that rural citizens, they can part in digital economy by accessing services like e-governance, digital payments, and even, you know, basic IT services. And the important, you know, contribution that what I feel is like, because this actually helps in tailored training modules, because it also covers the basics of, you know, digital devices, which is definitely important, because as we know, the smartphones are becoming cheaper day by day. And smartphones definitely can be a boon for entrepreneurs to actually, you know, spread across different geographies. And also important aspect of PMG Disha is that there's a lot of focus on the vulnerable groups, because what happens is a lot of special emphasis is given to training the non-literate and digitally illiterate citizens across various sections of society. This in fact also includes marginalized communities, women, and even differently abled individuals. And this actually helps promote diversity and inclusivity. And one of the important effective implementation thing that I observe is that there is a lot of decentralized execution. As this scheme is implemented through training partners and centers, including NGOs, education institutions, government bodies at the state as well as district level. And this actually ensures wide reach and localized implementation. And there is also a lot of awareness campaigns that is being driven by PMG Disha, which is actually conducted to educate rural citizens about the importance of digital literacy and how this can actually positively impact their lives. And these campaigns are carried out through various media, including radio, TV, and local community events to ensure wide coverage. At last, I'll say that one of the important features that I see is that this feedback mechanism also integrated into the program. So this actually enables to gather insights from the participants as well as trainers. And this allows continuous improvement and adaptation of the training modules, which is based on the needs and challenges faced by the rural citizens.
Absolutely. And over time, the availability of digital services in terms of direct benefit transfer, and earlier this used to be a very big task. But right now, due to all these services, can we say that the government and the overall machinery has also curbed some form of corruption also, because there were the elimination of middlemen, direct benefit transfers and all that?
Yeah, definitely. Because as we see that, as this is ensuring that the last mile citizen is connected by this, but what happens, I firmly believe that paper is directly proportional to, corruption. Less paper, less corruption, more paper, more corruption. So as we are enhancing digital, services in the rural areas through different e-governance modules, I'm sure the more you become, there will be less and less corruption. Because what happens, e-governance or any, you can say, the digital services, it actually creates an ecosystem where there is total transparency, there is credibility, and there is an actual, you can say, the human interface is one-to-one with the machine, with the exact team. So this actually eliminates the middleman, and also this actually helps to empower citizens wherein they feel that whatever they deserve, they get it. And also, they also feel that whatever opportunities are there, they're getting first-hand information of all the opportunities. And normally, rural citizens, they have to actually rely on middlemen or even to some of the, the local social, workers or even social leaders for getting the latest information. But now they can actually draw latest information, latest findings just on the click of the, the link on their smartphone or maybe on their computers or, the tablets. And I'm sure that this will actually create a very, very positive ecosystem in the rural India also, and wherein we can say that rural India and urban India will march by the same side, and this will actually bridge the digital divide that right now we are seeing. But in times to come, with the effective implementation of this tripartite MOU, gone are the days, we can never say that, the rural India is not digitally literate. Everybody will become digitally literate in times to come.
Absolutely. And through the MOU, we can say, or multiple initiatives by the central and state governments, we saw one thing, that the e-governance model made it more time effective, cost effective. So the same process that used to take months to complete is now happening very quickly. So how well this model is contributing to the overall vision of Atmanirbhar Bharat, developed nation, Viksit Bharat by 2047, you think?
The Prime Minister has given a clarion call for Viksit Bharat by 2047. And all the important components like BharatNet, it is actually laying the foundational infrastructure which is necessary for digital connectivity by enabling, giving the high-speed broadband. The CSEs, as physical infrastructure in rural areas, they're providing digital services which can be accessed, and also, providing various e-governance and digital services. The PMD Disha is actually making rural citizens digitally literate, and they ensure that, everybody can use the digital services. So this will actually democratize the access to digital services for each and everybody. Because what I feel that these initiatives, they are collectively supporting the economic development of rural areas by opening up new avenues for income generation, entrepreneurship and job creation. And by facilitating access to wider markets, educational resources and financial services, they will actually contribute to creating a very, very sustainable rural economy.
As we enter the very concluding stage of our program, Dr. Singh, I want to take your views on this, that you talked about the financial inclusion of people who are in the rural part of India and how digital services and initiatives of central government are empowering them. But can we say that due to the availability of services like these, digital tech, better broadband and all that, we can expect more and more entrepreneurs come in future from the rural part of India who are not only solving the regional and specific problems but also contributing to the economy in very, very significant chunks?
I believe that this is definitely a game changer, because what happens, the digitalization process that is happening now in rural India through this platform, this will actually enhance the reach of financial services to the unreached. And these financial services like opening bank accounts, credit, insurance, pensions, social security and managing money or even transferring money will definitely help the rural citizens to access to some of the best services, because right now this most of the services in rural India is on paper. But using, you know, even fintech services, even like the latest insurance services, they can actually do a matchmaking and they can avail some of the best services. And this will actually enable entrepreneurship also, because as we know that for financial inclusion, the business correspondents play a very, very vital role. And as you know, rural India is going to become digital. Even digital technologies like AI and blockchain will actually improve digital access to rural citizens, and it will create a lot of entrepreneurship opportunities also. Because what happens that the rural economy is getting increasingly more diversified, and as we know that the non-agricultural sector is contributing about 2/3 of the household income. So people living in rural areas, now they are not at all isolated from their urban counterparts with these, you know, different schemes, different digital schemes they are getting because of the improved internet access. And even there is a whole generation of mobile-first rural Indians who have leapfrogged generations of technologies to the mobile phone, actually, you know, creating a lot of entrepreneurship opportunities as well as job creation in the rural India in times to come.
Dr. Singh, and here if I play the devil's advocate role, what challenges are in front of India when we are trying to catapult the rural India to the mainland and also help and develop both to achieve the vision of Viksit Bharat 2047?
So some of the challenges, what I feel is like, although significant progress has been made, challenges such as, you know, infrastructure sustainability, continuous digital literacy improvement and scalability of digital services remain. So this needs to be worked. And also, you know, public-private partnerships, even government initiatives, they need to be more convergent. They need to work in tandem. That is very important. And also, affordable access is one of the important aspects in terms of, you know, making rural citizens more digital savvy. So probably there has to be some subsidies or low-cost plans. And also some of the challenges in terms of ensuring widespread adoption, even maintaining data privacy, and even achieving interoperability among diverse platforms remains a challenge. But I'm sure that if there is a collaboration between the government, the private sector and stakeholders, all these challenges can be addressed.
Absolutely. And to do all these things, have to have some flexible policy changes, policy reforms as well?
Yeah, definitely we need, because since, as we know, the information technology, things change overnight. There's a lot of evolution that is happening in IT. Gone are the days when, you know, the policies are made for decades and there was changes, you know, of even 20, 30 years. But now with this new, you know, IT services, wherein the regulators, they have to be in tandem, they have to be in sync with the innovators, with the R&D. So I'm sure that we need to continuously evolve our policies. The policy advocacy that normally we do is in tandem with industry needs, and that will actually help the rural economy to, you know, leapfrog to different trajectories.
Indeed, and Dr. Singh, right now the time is of artificial intelligence, generative AI. A lot of systems, machineries are using AI and taking the help of AI services. So in future, are there any scope that India or any department or Indian machinery can take help of AI as a tool in providing digital services?
We talk of rural India, one of the things that I say that artificial intelligence and machine learning and now even blockchain, even metaverse has definitely resulted in a lot of improvement in, you know, the rural, you can say, soft infrastructure, because it helps in access to information. Now the farmers, they are getting real-time information on weather forecast, even market prices, and even modern farming techniques. Even, you know, there is, because of introduction of Internet of Things, there is a lot of emphasis on smart farming and, you know, agriculture. There is a lot of better, you can say, resource management and crop yield. So these things are definitely, you know, improving the rural economy. And the time has come, even we have seen that even, you know, drones are used to spray the pesticides. They are used even last, you know, 10 days back only we saw that Prime Minister unveiled this drone Sati, wherein the girls are empowered. There's a lot of women empowerment, and they are trained to fly drones and to spray, you know, pesticides in order to improve the agriculture produce and agriculture yield at different farmlands.
Absolutely. On that note, we conclude the program. Dr. Singh, thank you so much for joining us today on Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on government efforts and initiatives to extend affordable and accessible digital services in rural areas. The participants were Dr. Jitendra Singh, Assistant Secretary General, PHP Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and Omvesh Upadhyay, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR.